I'm Emily.
And I'm Tycho.
And we're friends, right?
Sure, I guess.
As much as two strangers on the internet can be friends. And like most friends, we try to influence each other's tastes.
And like most friends, sometimes that influence is for something good we legitimately love, and sometimes it's for something horrific and terrible.
And that's what you're about to hear. This is Lone Holdout.
Emily, what the fuck's going on?
Hey, do you think I could get to bed someday?
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Are we just gonna flap our jaws all night?
Yeah, right. Are you ready, Tycho?
Sure, why not?
Okay, open us up.
Hey, Brinky.
Hey.
So you live in Texas, right?
I do.
I have some a list of computer terms and the Texas translation of those terms.
Oh, perfect. That's exactly what
ready?
I need right now. Sure.
Download. What does download mean?
Is this related to dumps?
You would think. See, I thought that's where your mind would go. It's
because I'm so vulgar. Yeah.
This is just getting the far wood off the truck. Floppy disk.
Okay, one more. Floppy disk.
What you get from trying to carry too much far wood?
Oh,
RAM.
They're talking about a back? Because I mean, they could have at least have made a dick joke at that point.
I guess.
Uh huh.
RAM.
Speaking of dick jokes, we have our lovely friend Frankie with us. You can talk, Frankie.
The Duke of Dick.
The Duke of Dick.
Hard drive. Getting home in the wintertime.
Except, like, it doesn't snow here or anything, so I don't know what they mean by that exactly.
Prompt. What the mail ain't in the wintertime.
The mail? M-A-L-E or M-A-I-L?
M-A-I-L. Although, I guess it could be both.
I really want this to devolve into dick jokes. That would at least make this segment funny.
I almost went to computer jokes for kids.
Computer jokes about dicks.
5.5-inch floppy dick.
See? The Duke of Dick saving it once more.
It doesn't take much.
Hey.
I think all of this really kind of calls for a Krusty the Clown groan.
Why did the computer keep sneezing? It had a virus.
And so the reason we've brought Frankie in with us, other than the fact that he's delightful and breaks up the monotony,
I'm a welcome cherub to the show after two episodes. I'm this little 3-inch bubble of love after two episodes of Birdemic.
Is that another dick joke? The 3-inch bubble of love?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I like it. So we brought on Frankie because he is an IT professional.
Correct.
And we talked about IT this week because I brought a recommendation to Tycho. And this is something Frankie has seen as well. It's a TV show called The IT Crowd. And it is a British TV show that aired from 2006 to 2013. So it was 4 seasons or...
Yeah.
We talk about British TV shows, we could say series.
Correct.
And I think there were like 6 each. And so it was about 25 episodes total. And there was one like Christmas special. So.
Yeah, which I never saw, actually. I was trying to track it down illegally, and I wasn't successful. But I've seen all the episodes except for that.
Yep. And so this is a TV show about two guys and their female boss working in the basement of a big corporation doing IT work,
yeah.
Support. And so I thought Frankie might be able to give us some insight into that. So we recommended that to Tycho, and he watched 2 episodes. So, Tycho, you want to tell us about your impressions?
Remember how you felt about Cats?
Oh, no.
Yes.
I kind of felt that way about this show.
Okay.
I did not enjoy it at all. I watched the first 2 episodes, and normally, and to be fair... Before I give up on a TV show, I will usually give it 4 or 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But just watching these first 2 episodes, I kind of felt the same way about this show that I feel about The Big Bang Theory. I don't like the way it portrays nerds/geeks.
How do you feel that it portrayed nerds/geeks similarly to the way The Big Bang Theory does?
Because they both portray them as...
likeable.
As... awkward, socially inept people who can't do anything outside of their own little bubble of what they're good at, and when they're in that bubble, they're like they're really good when they're when they step anywhere outside their bubble. They're like, I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm awkward, and it's funny, and it's not. That's not what nerds and geeks are like.
But don't you think that that actually is an archetype?
Anybody who says that can go die in a fire. Sorry, what?
Oh, don't you think that is a definition of geek? That is one thing that a geek can be.
I think let me clarify some terms here. For me, a geek is somebody who has an interest in like fantasy and science fiction and stuff of a fictional nature. Nerds are more based in science and like computery stuff and math. That's the difference in my head.
So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The gentlemen that we're talking about that are on the show, their names are
nerds.
They're Moss and Roy, and they're good with computers, so they are nerds.
Yes.
Okay.
And any time that they stepped outside of doing something with computers, they were all, we don't know what we're doing. And I'm like, no, don't. It's not. That's not how it is. That's not what it's like. And I don't appreciate that.
Well, Moss more so than Roy. Roy is sort of more right. more of an adolescent. And as the show goes on, he's also a lot more socially functional. But Moss is sort of like a regressed sort of sexless child.
Yeah, for sure. And this does have the similarity to The Big Bang Theory in the sense that you've got suddenly an attractive female is thrown in with them. And her goal is to get them out of their shells a little bit.
But they're all, I mean, look, they're all heightened versions of the real thing. I mean, I don't think that like tech incompetent women would watch Jen and be like, okay, that's a bad representation of me. I mean, it's a sitcom.
Well, I think that's true of any character that's on TV.
It's a multicam sitcom with a laugh track. It's heightened.
It actually isn't a laugh track. They did film in front of a studio audience.
Yeah, but nevertheless, there are breaks in the jokes for laughter, and there's a live element to it. So it's not if you're looking for subtle representation, nuanced representation, like that's just not the format for that.
That's true. Yeah, but I think any TV show you're going to watch is going to have a person with a strong personality that doesn't necessarily translate into everyone in that demographic.
Right.
You know, everyone on the show is a bitch, so women are all bitches. You know, that's not necessarily the case.
I also find that the show spends a relatively small amount of time on IT-specific issues and even nerd-specific issues. I think it spends more time on, you know, basically farcical situations, absurdist situations.
Right, because I think my very favorite episode is the one where Roy is pretending to be disabled.
Yeah, that was in my top eight. I love.
Oh, was it? Because him saying I'm disabled in his pathetic Irish accent.
Yeah, I love anything that the dude says. He has like there's a number of times throughout the show where he there's the episode where he keeps running into somebody who he went to high school with that was more successful than him, and just by circumstance somehow he keeps looking like he's a window cleaner to this guy who's more successful than him, and he has to keep shouting very loudly, I'm not a window cleaner, I'm not a window cleaner. And there's something about like that Irish voice insisting you're not a window cleaner.
Well, the Irish voice, Tycho, haven't you and I talked about Chris O'Dowd before, or no?
His name is familiar to me, but I didn't recognize him.
He's starting to take a hold in America a little bit. And
he
so
is,
Chris,
yeah.
Chris O'Dowd plays Roy. And so he is the more socially functional between the two nerds. He's very handsome. He's got an Irish accent. He's kind of lazy. He doesn't like doing his job. That's kind of his social malfunction. And so he's taking hold in America, but not with his Irish accent. Everything I've seen him in, he is faking an American accent, and it's not that it's bad. It's fine. It just, he loses every bit of his charm. He is not interesting in the things that I've seen him in.
Well, did you see Bridesmaids?
Okay. He was very attractive in Bridesmaids. I'm thinking about Girls, the HBO show. And so he plays in that. He was in some other things. Oh, I think there's a movie called Friends with Kids that came out pretty recently, and he was in that as well. But did he have his Irish accent in Bridesmaids? He did, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He didn't drop it for that, no.
Right. And so he was still charming.
Yeah.
He was still wonderful. If he drops the Irish accent, he's nothing. So that's unfortunate. But
right. I mean, for me, too, the other thing about – because I don't think – like I was trying to say, I don't think that the show is about – I think that if I was watching this show hoping to get a nuanced representation of nerds, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily find it here. But I also don't really think that that's, to me, that's like saying like Family Guy is meant to represent families. It's like, well, no, it's meant to make jokes. And that's mostly what the show does, especially when the boss commits suicide and his son takes over the company. And the son is Matt Berry from, he's like a UK comic actor. And the dude is just the funniest fucking guy.
He's got a crazy, a very deep, distinctive voice.
God damn these electric sex pants.
Tycho, I don't think you got to that point. I think Matt Berry comes on it in season two.
No, I still had the one note boss.
Okay.
The crazy guy.
Denim, is that his name, Frankie?
The last name of both of them is Renham, and I believe it.
Yes.
The son is Douglas. And,
okay.
And I think the father, yeah. His name is like Denim. Denim Renham.
Yeah, his name is Denim.
Yeah.
Yeah, his suicide is hilarious because he just steps out a window calmly.
Tycho, let me ask you this. Not one joke in two episodes made you laugh?
The only thing that made me laugh was when in the first episode when they're coming up with a plan to get everybody to like them and it's playing the A-Team music. That was it. That was the only joke.
The A-Team music did it for you, but nothing else?
Not even when he's describing the members of the A-Team and he refers to Mr. T as Jewelry Man, because that's one of my favorite. That one sticks with me. I don't think I think of Mr. T as anything else.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm tired and I'm not really in a good mood that I was just like, I'm not amused by this at all. Like, I don't understand. I have a thing about like comedy shows where people are like, oh, this is such a great show and you need to watch it. Like, I have tried to watch, you know, shows like Friends and Seinfeld, and they're not funny. They're just not funny. Friends is the least funny show I've ever seen in my life.
Well, who actually stands by Friends as like a piece of quality?
My friend Rowan does. She loves it.
This Rowan character, I don't know about her.
Yeah, me neither.
But I
30 Rock. 30 Rock.
Okay.
Who everybody loves 30 Rock. And I watched three episodes of it. I did not laugh. No, check that. I laughed once. And it was when Jack McBrayer said, "You have just made me so grumpy, I'm going to stay grumpy until the end of this sentence." And then he does a silly little smile and walks off. And that was kind of funny. Community, I gave it five episodes. And then I said, fuck this.
Yeah, I don't like Community either. A lot of people really love it. I don't get it.
I know people who swear that it is the best, funniest show on television ever. And I'm like, it's not.
Yeah,
I've never seen it. Yeah, I've never seen a complete episode.
Like the argument that I have with one of my friends, because she's like, it's such a great show and you should watch more of it. And I'm like, the main character is such a complete asshole. He's just a self-centered jerk asshole.
I don't think that takes away the pleasure of watching a show or something, because I think there are situations where the main character is an asshole and that's the show.
Agreed.
I think that's okay.
I think Eastbound and Down is a really good example of that.
Oh, I don't like Eastbound and Down.
Oh, you're
like,
I can't relate
to the main character. I don't want to watch the show. And I got through five episodes of this guy being a jerk, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Like, I have to deal with enough jerks and assholes in my life. I don't want to deal with it when I'm watching.
So what's a few examples of some really like solid Tycho approved comedies?
Sports Night. I love Sports Night.
It's a very nerdy show.
If you want it, Sports Night is not a nerdy show. You take that back.
You wouldn't say so. You don't think that's like a darling of the nerd community, that show?
Sports Night?
Well, maybe let's check our terms, okay? So, sports. If a person is super into sports at the expense of all other interests, would you call that a geek or a nerd?
You know, I got into this debate the other night with
this is a big topic with you. Geek archetypes?
Yeah, I think the cleverest thing I can come up with is like nobody gets nerdier about what a nerd is than a nerd, because they're typically or historically it's a designation that makes you that gives you less power in a social situation or less power. That's what makes a nerd a nerd typically is like there's something about me that makes me different or puts me in a minority. And as time has gone on, people have started to adopt that. And I don't think that this is where I don't think the interests specifically make a nerd. I don't think you can be like, well, if you like comic books, you're a nerd. But if you like sports, you're a jock. I don't think you can do that. I think that it's about the way the person interacts with the interest. I think you can be very nerdy about fantasy baseball if you're acting nerdy about it.
Yeah, I think so. I think it has to do with interests that that are overpowering and obsessive.
There was there was a woman at Nina's, my wife's, work, who was like, I'm such a geek. I have seen all the Star Wars movies and all the Lord of the Rings movies. And I was like, so has the planet. That those are literally, yeah, literally the highest grossing movies of all time.
Yeah.
Everyone has seen them. Like, at some point, you know, because I think it might be a modesty thing, or it might be a, you know, to, I think people try to make themselves complex, and they, so at some point or another, being able to wear nerd as a badge became something that became popular. And then actual true nerds who have, you know, maybe been disadvantaged because of who they are or how they interact with their interests, have been kind of slighted by that, I think.
So Tycho, one thing I was wondering, do you think that the show was shaming nerds? Cause I don't feel that way about the Big Bang Theory for sure. I don't think that those guys are being shamed at all. They're being glorified a little bit. I think that as far as nerdy guys, they love each other. They are the heroes of the show and they're likable.
But it is a bit of a minstrel. It's a bit of a minstrel for nerds.
So Tycho, this show, do you think that they're being shamed?
I don't think they're being shamed.
Mm-hmm.
To my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think being shamed is when you're being told, oh, this is a bad thing to be.
Right.
You shouldn't be that way. I don't think they're saying that. I think they're just saying, these two guys are nerds and they don't have any social skills outside of they're fine when they're on a computer, and anywhere else in the world they are just inept.
Come on though. That is often true. Like if it wasn't true, then what is a nerd?
Well, and do you give them credit for being nerdy and socially awkward in different ways? Cause I think Moss and Roy are very different characters. They're not both Steve Urkel clones. They're different. You know, you've got Moss, who can barely function as a human being. He lives with his mom. She dresses him and packs his lunch. And he doesn't know well enough to yell fire when he sees one. Right? But Roy... go ahead.
I cannot believe that anybody is that incapable of social interaction.
They're not. They're on a sitcom.
Like...
Well, that's true. But I mean, and also the phrase idiot savant exists for a reason.
Yes. And I was about to bring that up, and that, you know, and that, yeah, that's a thing. But like, I also don't think idiot savants can interact to the level that Moss does. Like when they first come walking in and they see Jen.
So Jen is their female boss, and she
Jen is their boss.
She basically lied on her resume to say she had a lot of experience with computers. The guy hiring her didn't know any better, so she bluffed, and she got made head of IT.
She's got a pretty great comic performance throughout this whole show.
Right, very kind of deadpan, and
there's something weird about her. I can't quite put my finger on it. She's you know, perfectly attractive and yet doesn't lead with that, but tries to. And there's something really nice, I think, with her performance.
Right. Sorry, Tycho. So they come in and see Jen.
And yeah, they come in and they see Jen and they do their real quick freshen up thing and then sneak back out and then come in like they're talking, you know, like he's talking about Tolstoy or whatever. And Moss just doesn't get what's going on, you know, and fair enough that he doesn't get what's going on if he's that socially inept, but if he's also that socially inept, like he's
so
Roy is talking with this fake voice about Tolstoy and Moss the whole time is, what are you talking about? I don't remember this conversation at all. Like what is going on? And then Roy throws a thing at him. He says, why did you just do the secret signal to shut up or whatever it was that he said? And it's like, if you're aware enough to be, if you're aware enough to know a secret signal to shut up and what the secret signal is, then you're aware enough to, you know, to be more socially adept than he is.
So what you're talking about is him missing a social cue, right? And that I think is a real thing. So Tycho, you've been replaced as the main geek in my life. I've now started working with a gentleman, and we went to the movies today. On the first day we worked together, we were talking about geeky type subjects, and he referred to me as his geekwool. So that was very sweet of him. And so today we went to the movies. We went and saw The Muppets at like 10:45 in the morning. So the least sexy date on earth.
I don't know, man. It sounds pretty sexy to me.
Well, I don't know. And so I arrived, I had my hair, I had wet hair in a clip, and I took it down so that I could, you know, lean against the back of the seats and not have a clip in my head. By the end of the movie, it was kind of messed up and kind of half dry. And we were the last ones out of the theater. We had been sitting in the way back. So we're walking out, you know, behind everyone else, because we have stayed for the credits. I've got this messed up F me hair. And I think if anyone was observing, it would be kind of hilarious. It would look like we had been messing around. To me, it was funny. I tried to relay to him why this was funny. He thought I was trying to fish for a compliment about my hair looking bad. So, like, I think there are situations where people just kind of miss huge social clues, right?
Yeah, but the level of that misinterpretation and the level of why did you just give me the secret signal to shut up is, I think it's two completely different things, and it's. I mean, that's just, again, this is all just in my head, and it just, I don't know. I don't like the way they're portrayed in the show, and that's, I don't know if I can adequately explain why.
Because if we're making a comparison of they're socially inept, they're socially capable of doing this, but too socially inept to do that. I don't know how long that can stand, because if you go back to the Big Bang Theory, well, sure, you know, this guy is socially capable enough to have friends. I'm thinking of Raj specifically, socially capable of having some friends and holding a job, but is incapable of speaking to women, actually forming words and, you know, getting words out of his mouth when a woman is the person he is interacting with, unless he is drunk. And that's a plot point on the show. Can we chalk it up to a personality type? Because, I mean, Moss misses social cues. That's his thing that he does. He's not good with that.
At least that's the broad stroke that they first paint that character with. And then I do think that I like any show, you start to nuance and you start to refine. Well, you know, in what ways is he socially awkward? Because he's not socially awkward in the same ways that Roy is. If he was, then we'd have a problem, I think. You'd have redundant characters, and you also would be saying every nerd is like this. But I think they paint two very different nerds, kinds of nerds.
And, so do you think there's a possibility that Tycho didn't enjoy it because we gave him the pilot? And he also watched the second episode, and in the pilot, nobody is fully formed.
Well, I also think
if you're going to watch just this show,
if you're going to watch something that's a little bit broad and it has sort of a cartoon element to it, I don't think that you can reasonably look for like sound logic between situation to situation. Like there, for, you know, three or four episodes in, they have a goth character who is as archetypically over the top goth, you know, like once it's over the top, they go even further over the top with how goth he is. And that's what kind of makes it funny. And that's what they're doing to their nerd characters. I mean, they're consistent about the way they portray types of people throughout the whole thing. So, and I think it would be a little strange if a goth person was like, see, we're not all like that. I was like, well, of course you're not all like that. It's a joke. We're making jokes.
Right. And I think that you brought a good point to it, and that it is kind of cartoony. We've already mentioned the boss just calmly stepping out a window to kill himself. Right. And that was because he got a bad financial report. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Or he was, you know, he was found for some criminal wrongdoings or something.
Right. And the place where they work there, they are part of a large corporation, a big office building. The offices upstairs are beautiful. The site, you can look out the window and see beautiful landscapes. It's very nice. You go down to the basement where the IT is located, and it's dank and disgusting. It's a basement. It's dark. it's like you said, it is a cartoon. There yeah. are.
It's kind of funny. Well, yeah, especially in the sense of like the big dark tower that they work in and the small sort of basement. But it's funny because like I think that this is a show that's often enjoyed by IT people because they are looking for their show. Like I think everybody like wants their show.
Right.
Like, this is our show. You know, like they'll make like an obese person's show and be like, "This is our show."
Oh, and Mike and Molly.
Is that what that is? Jesus.
Oh, there is a show about a fat guy and a fat girl, and they fall in love.
Right.
So, yeah, right. Yes. And the girl is Melissa McCarthy. Since we were speaking about Bridesmaids, so.
Yeah.
So talk about being an IT professional and watching the show.
I mean, there's the sort of like the catchphrase of the show is, "Did you turn it off and on again?" Which
right.
I think there's many, many funnier things in the show besides that, but it's the thing that gets chanted the most in IT communities and stuff. But I watched the show because other IT people were like, "We're all IT people. You gotta see this with us." And I watched it for that reason, but I don't like it. I don't like it for that reason.
So Tycho, since you didn't like it, you probably won't take us up on our other recommendation. This is something Frankie brought to me, and that is it Garth or Darth? I'm sorry.
You know what? I think there's a possibility that he could enjoy Garth Marenghi.
Okay. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And so it has several of the same people. It does have Richard Ayoade, who plays Moss, who also did a movie in America kind of recently, and that kind of got trampled on. He did not take root.
It was with Jonah Hill and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, and they're playing like a neighborhood watch group.
You know what every review of that movie said? They all said that like the main cast, like the main sort of American cast, was sucky, and they were like, "But surprisingly, this gentleman with the, you know, this British gentleman with the fro is amazingly funny." So yeah, he actually was well reviewed.
Not only that, but like the posters didn't have his name on it or anything, or it was tiny. He was not on it. His picture was on it, but like they wouldn't have his name because there was no name recognition.
There was no recognition, right?
I felt for him because I like him.
Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Let me try to tell Tycho about this show.
Okay,
it is a show I discovered very recently. It's directed and written by the guy who plays Moss in a very different capacity than IT Crowd. The joke is, if you've ever enjoyed like Stephen King sort of produced like Sunday afternoon specials from like when you were a kid, the really awful like supernatural hospital dramas and shit like that, it is one of those shows. But it was like the mythos of the show is that it was never aired. And it, you know, it was a supernatural hospital drama written by a guy kind of like Stephen King who's written more books than he's read. And you're watching this terrible.
Oh, Frankie.
Yes.
You might want to tread lightly because Tycho is a huge Stephen King guy.
Well, I didn't say Stephen King was bad. I actually like a lot of Stephen King. I'm just saying that like.
And Stephen King has read more books than you've probably seen in your life.
So. I just said to tread lightly.
All right. What we're gonna have a fight on the podcast over Stephen King.
Everybody. I'm just saying if he's not writing, he's reading.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
He reads a lot.
So maybe not. We won't apply that brushstroke to Stephen King.
Well, who's the other guy? There's another guy just like that. That's
Dean Koontz. I'll give you Dean Koontz.
Yeah, Dean Koontz. Yeah, that's
Dean Koontz can go. Dean Koontz can go eat a bag of dicks. No.
Oh, a bag of dicks.
Go eat an English. He can go eat an English muffin and burn his mouth.
No, I want to.
That's.
Can you just? Can I hear you say bag of dicks?
Well, he can do that too.
Say it softly.
Say it slower.
So you know it's that. Well, I'll look, as far as Stephen King goes, you have to admit that some of those adaptations are pretty trashy and terrible. The movie adaptations.
I saw Misery pretty recently.
Misery's actually I like Misery because it's Robert Ryan.
She got an Academy Award for it. Kathy Bates did.
Come on, it sucks. And there was one where like they travel through a black hole. I don't even remember what it was called. There's some pretty crappy Stephen King miniseries.
The only thing I can think of that you're even referencing is The Langoliers.
That might be it.
Where they travel. What happens is they travel back in time, except that time is like a static thing. So that when they travel back in time, they're actually like in the past. Like people, the theory, I'm not even going to go into it because you'll just delete it from the podcast. So what's it?
But it's essentially, it's like that period But it's with all of the production mistakes that would come with a low budget series, and so the comedy is all about the production fuck ups throughout it, and it's really fun. There's this one segment where they're like, you know, we had an episode that ran under time, and everything that wasn't dialogue was considered for slow motion, just to extend the time. And so you're just watching unnecessary slow motion through. It's very conceptual. It's not joke based, but it's, if you enjoy that kind of like the humor of mistakes, which I think,
see, that actually does sound kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well,
like I like the idea, like I like supernatural stuff and I like behind the scenes kind of stuff. And right. It like, that sounds interesting.
So you might actually like it, and that might bring you around to liking Richard Ayoade, and also it might introduce you to Matt Berry in a way that you're going to enjoy him, since you didn't see him in these episodes of IT Crowd, and might not have liked him just for his association with that. Are there any other like actor crossovers, Frankie, between those two shows?
No, those are the two.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the guy who played Denim. What hosted a fake 2020 kind of Dateline show in the UK called Brass Eye, that is very over the top, but very funny.
Did you say Brass Eye?
Brass Eye, yeah. It's okay. Like instead of it being sort of a Colbert, because it's kind of that same thing of like a fake newscaster delivering fake news, but this is more of a like a 44-minute like Dateline special with that guy. And there's also sort of a Borat element to it, where he's interviewing real people about fake news that they don't know it's fake news. Like he's talking about a new drug on the street called cheesing or something. And there's a lot of really fun stuff in there too. So a lot of these dudes have been in. And then Noel Fielding, who plays Richmond the Goth. He was in The Mighty Boosh, which is like a fan favorite, but it's something I never really got into.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was wondering what else he had been in, because recently you recommended another British TV show to me, and this is a yearly thing called the Big Fat Quiz of the Year, where they get British comedians to come on and answer questions about that year's news.
If you enjoy a loose form, like sort of comedy show where people are just, you know, it's almost like a podcast in that way. It's like six hilarious British comedians with one hilarious host. And they're just doing a year in review, like, you know, what was the most popular song by Lady Gaga this year? But everybody's allowed to riff. Everybody's allowed to go over time. It's just as many hours of funny as you want it to be. And like Russell Brand was a part of it one year, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, 2 years. I'm on the second episode with him. And I didn't think I would like Russell Brand.
Yeah.
And I do. I'm very surprised with myself. But Noel Fielding is on there as well. This is the only thing I've ever seen him in that's not IT Crowd. And once I recognized him, I was... It was wonderful. Now he's very funny.
Yeah, so. I mean, these are all like, whether you like them in one thing or don't like them in another, these are just funny, smart people. Like almost any way you slice it.
Right. And so Tycho, does that kind of sound like something you would like? Because this is like a British. No, wait, don't tell me. And
no, see, that does sound good. I love QI. I'll watch QI all day long. Okay. Well, we've talked about that being a recommendation from me to you, so we'll probably cover that later on.
Okay.
Frankie, are you familiar with QI?
No.
It's a British panel show hosted by Stephen Fry.
I love Stephen Fry.
He hosts it, and he'll basically ask questions of the panel, and if you get the right answer, you get points. If you give an interesting answer, you'll get more points. If you give an obvious / wrong answer, you get this alarm thrown at you, and you lose points for that. And quite often people end up with negative scores just because they'll ask questions like, what is a rhino's horn made of?
Is it like a weekly format thing, or is it like, how do they do it?
It is a weekly format within like the BBC, you know,
Channel
method
4.
Of...
So it's
we'll do 10 episodes and then take a year and a half off.
I see.
And, you know. I think they're in series K right now.
Is it video or is it audio?
It's video.
Oh, okay.
It's an actual television show.
Oh, okay.
And you can find a lot of episodes, like a lot of episodes on YouTube, and just sit and watch any of them, and they're all amazing.
Because the format you're describing kind of reminds me more of International Waters, the podcast that I don't know if you listen to it, but I know I do. It's from the Max Fun Network that we both listen to. But they have pit British comedians against American comedians to answer pop culture questions. And the same kind of point format applies, which is a point for a correct answer and then an extra point if the answer makes the host laugh. So it's not that you're opposed to British television. It's not that you
don't. I love British television.
Right.
I quite like, you know, a lot of British shows. I've watched a lot of them.
So your main objection to this is about the portrayal of nerds.
And it's not funny.
Is it not funny because you're not enjoying the portrayal of nerds?
It's not funny because I didn't find any of it funny.
And he can prove it with math.
None of it, like, it didn't make me laugh. I was just like, I see that that's a joke. I understand that that's a joke.
But
it just didn't click with me.
It wasn't because you were offended watching it the whole time, right?
I wasn't like offended. I was just like, oh, we're doing this again. Okay.
Now, when you say again, because of the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Okay. I should look that up because I think this might have come out before that. I don't know.
I was familiarized with the Big Bang Theory before I was familiarized with the IT crowd. So when I say, oh, we're doing this again, we're doing it because I knew about the Big Bang Theory first. So that was strictly a me timeline as opposed to a however the universe actually saw it timeline.
I'm looking it up just because I'm curious, but...
Okay.
The other thing I'm wondering about, when you say again, you're talking one TV show from England and one TV show from America, and each one has a portrayal of nerds. Does that oversaturate the market? I mean, can we think of other things that are portraying, you would say unrealistic, but I would say, I don't know that it's unrealistic necessarily, but not a shaming, hateful portrayal of nerds, where they are the heroes, like them or not. Are there other things like this? Frankie, can you think of any?
That celebrate nerddom?
Nerdism, sure.
I feel like the whole culture celebrates nerdism right now. I don't feel like that's like, yeah. I don't think that that's absent right now. I think that they could be, again, working in an IT department, I think that there are a lot of different flavors of nerd that I would love, that I would love to see portrayed better or, you know, like in my office, we actually have a nerd that's like, that could be on a sitcom and like, you know, he's black and white. He communicates very black and white. He misses a lot of social cues, but he's really, really intelligent. But then we also have like hipster nerds. We have people who are like, you should really use a standing desk and Google works better because they have cereal bars. You're just like, shut the fuck up.
Cereal bars. They're talking about the company and they eat cereal or
this is everywhere. This is like new bullshit, like new age. Like this is how you make people productive is like,
oh yeah. Right, but I'm wondering if you're talking about Google the website works better because it has barcodes or Google the company works better because the employees eat cereal.
Oh, you're being cute. You're being cute.
No, I'm not being cute. I just want to know what you're talking about.
The employees, I might be making that up, but like I know Pixar does. I know like Disney Animation Studios does.
Okay.
Like they have they want to present a very fun corporate environment.
Right.
That's like a big thing right now and you know, there's like a real kind of pushback against like just going to your job and working.
Yeah.
But my point is there's a lot of different flavors of this. There's like, there's like cool, but awkward. There's kind of that going on. I don't know. I do find, you know, like it's, if you're looking for authenticity in your portrayal of IT departments, I don't think you're going to find it in the IT crowd. There's also a lot of different kinds of IT people. There's like, you know, there's the people who fix your computer and your desktop. Then there's the people who administer your servers and your network. There's people who do your cabling. There's people who like write documentation and technical documents. And I know at my work, like
my,
yeah,
oh. My dad worked in IT for a little while.
And what was he
was
do?
An IT guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what he did.
And Frankie, what would you say these guys on the show do? They're yeah, they're pretty much answering the phones most of the time.
Yeah, they are somehow the help desk, telecom, servers and networking, And did I already say help desk? Yeah, help desk.
Right.
There are two guys who run the whole IT department
of a huge corporation. So you're saying that that's probably not likely.
Well, they definitely wouldn't have as much downtime as they do on the show.
Right.
I think it's like
true of any sitcom though. Yeah. I think any sitcom, you don't really see people working that much because work is boring.
But I don't watch a multicam sitcom for authenticity. I'm looking for some fun.
For a guy to try and pretend to be disabled so he can get free opera tickets.
Yeah, or a guy who wants to invent the ultimate bra and pitch it to Dragon's Den,
and then it starts on fire. I think, is that right?
Yeah, I think my favorite episode is Street Countdown.
Okay,
they have a show. I don't know if you've seen that episode, but
I've seen most of them, but I don't know the titles of each. So
well, there was a. There's a show in the UK called The Final Countdown. It's a long-standing, it's like our Wheel of Fortune in a lot of ways, where you give somebody a handful of letters and the longest word they can make out of those random letters, the higher points they get. And Moss is a contestant, and he's so successful that he's sworn into like a secret society of countdowners. And it becomes this sort of like the street game of like, we're going to play some street countdown. You know what I'm saying? there's like a sensei who's like a Morpheus type of person from the Matrix. And, you know, he's the chosen one. And it becomes like, it almost like the style of the show almost completely breaks down and it becomes more of like an epic. And I love that. I love when shows abandon us, because like TV shows are best known for, we have these characters and they always act this way and they always have situations in these locations. And I love it when a show completely departs from its own style for comedic effect.
Maybe. I think that can go well and it can go bad, because I'm thinking of musical episodes, and I don't think IT Crowd ever did one, but I know that a lot of shows do.
Well, what are we talking about? Like Drew Carey, like the 90s?
Well, Scrubs did one very recently. Yeah. Well,
very recently, like 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
I'm thinking of
Scrubs at least tried to work in a reason for their musical episode.
Well, sure. So did Grey's Anatomy when they did their musical episode. And that's a drama, which is retarded to me. Unlike
Chicago Hope. Did you ever watch Chicago Hope? Because they did a musical episode where it was just, now we're going to break into song. Da 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 da. And it was like, there was no reason for the singing. It just, they just started singing like in a musical.
So I think when you're talking about going off format, I think a musical episode doesn't jibe with me for sure. I don't know if there are people who love it.
Well, how about like the CG episode of The Simpsons, like when Homer's in like 3D land? Or like South Park when they were World of Warcraft characters or anime characters.
I love the anime characters one. Yeah, that was working for me. But like the plotting was still kind of the same. They just looked different. Yeah. So I'm kind of okay with that. What's coming to mind now is in the 90s when all the sitcom characters would always go to Disney World.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why the fuck was that a thing? Oh, you know why that was a thing? Because TGI...
Production value?
TGIF was owned by ABC, and ABC is a Disney, is part of Disney Corporation.
Yep.
Right.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because, that was a big thing. I remember it being, remember that show Step by Step? That one for sure. And
I got to tell you, man, like.
Step by Step was a remake of the Brady Bunch. That's all it was.
It was like a sexy Brady Bunch. Like, they were always, like, the two parents were always fucking.
Yeah.
And then, like, somebody was always.
Oh, you know, Mike, you know, Mike and Jan Brady were always going at it too.
Yeah.
I don't know that they couldn't allude to it
in the 60s.
I don't know that the actors that played Mike and Jan Brady were known for being sexy before starting the show. Cause I mean, Patrick Duffy, I think was, and, who was the mom?
Suzanne Summers.
Yeah. And so she definitely was, I mean, she's the thigh master. So yeah, those,
she was known
those
for
two.
Her ass.
Right.
Ass of steel.
Not the thighs, then. Oh, Buns of Steel?
Yes. Yeah. That show, just for nostalgia purposes, like I would love to own all of the TGIF shows on DVD just for my own like psychotic sake. But Step by Step, for some reason, they've never have released on DVD proper.
I don't know. I don't think it gets a lot of love in modern times.
I don't know, man.
It's kind of the black sheep of the TGIF family.
I wouldn't say it's the blackest sheep, though. I would say Hanging with Mr. Cooper is for literal.
Oh, oh hey now. Oh, why you got to bring race into it?
Wait a minute. I didn't.
Besides,
make
Hanging with Mr. Cooper. Hey.
Oh, wait.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper was awesome.
Are you?
I loved Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Are you getting offended because he said it's the blackest of sheep and it stars black people?
I thought that was the joke he was making.
Oh,
and
okay.
He laughed at that, so I figured that was.
Oh,
I had a. There's a whole plan there. The plan was there is a racial context to this joke that people can decide to laugh at, and if they do and call me racist, I'll be like, "You're the racist one." I meant it was the forgotten.
I'm not racist. You're racist. Nah.
Exactly.
Well, maybe there's another reaction possible, which is where you hang back and ask you to over-explain the joke until it's no longer funny. I'm sorry.
Until you're super racist.
Until you're super racist. So, Tycho, it didn't jibe with you, huh?
No.
So when we talked about podcasts before, and we talked about the one that you were recommending to me, Read It and Weep. They played the game called One Change, where they were allowed to, in their imaginations, make one change to the work that would make it better. So they could, in a book, take out this character and replace it with this person or whatever. So, Tycho, I want you to play One Change with IT Crowd. And let's be reasonable, because I think last time we played One Change with, Dude, and your idea was it should star you instead. So, like...
What? Really?
Yeah. I
don't remember that.
Oh, probably because it was a popular podcast and everybody listened to it and they did live shows. And
sure.
The one podcast I was on before this one was a horrible failure.
Right. But the idea, so like, let's come up with a real thing and not just, I don't want it to ever see it on my TV again. That would be a good change. Like, because I do want to break down things that you actually don't like. Because I think that... Anybody listening to this who has never heard of it is getting the appeal of it from me and from Frankie. We need to, you know, make sure that it's clear why it's not appealing to a certain sect of people. So
fair and balanced.
I guess the thing that I would change would be everybody who is in the all of the okay. Everyone who is in it, their character is an over-the-top representation of their character, which is something that I don't particularly like when the show is trying to be... okay. If it's obviously just like a goofy, wacky, whimsical show and stuff is over-the-top, I'm okay with it. If it's semi-realistic or realistic and everybody is over-the-top to the point that it's almost annoying... Like the boss guy in IT Crowd, I can't get into that. I'm like, pull it back. Please pull it back. It's like when you go to see, when I went to go see Beauty and the Beast, the stage show, the musical stage show, the guy who is playing LeFou was so ridiculously over the top wacky that I was just like, you're destroying it. You need to stop. Like, and it's not his fault. He's playing it for laughs. But he's doing way too much and working way too hard. And it was the director's job to pull him back and say, you're doing too much. Come back a little bit. So when you go way over the top like that, I don't like that. So,
but
like,
was he the only person going over the top? Because I can see how it'd be distracting.
I think the two nerds were also over the top representations of nerds. I didn't see any other characters in the show that, you know... In the first two episodes, I think Jen is the straight man of the piece.
She is, she's an overrepresentation of a dumb girl. Like, she doesn't even know how to plug in her phone, and she's pretending to bluff her way, you know, trying to bluff her way through this job. You didn't find her to be kind of an exaggeration of a character type?
Not really. I saw her as in over her head. We don't get to know enough about her at the beginning to know whether or not she's a dumb person or not. So mm-hmm. I didn't get that sense of it.
You know what
I saw that she was trying to bluff her way through it. And I knew as soon as Moss came walking in and she was talking on the phone, I was like, her phone's not plugged in and that's going to be the joke of this scene. And that was the joke of the scene. And I was like, all right, that's thank you.
You know, so what is, so, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
You know what I actually really do appreciate about the portrayal of Jen, though, is like in my profession, there are a lot of people who are unskilled with IT, but there are jobs in IT. Like there's a negative employment or something like that. I forgot the term, but what it means is that there are more jobs than there are skilled people. And so a lot of people go to IT unskilled looking for jobs. And what you find is they try to identify nerds as nerdier than they really are so that they feel like they can bring value as the socialite. Like I see that a lot in my job where people are like, yeah, but you guys don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to be social like I do. Like I'll be like the people person and you, cause you guys can't do that. You're just like in your computers and I'll be the, I'm like, motherfucker, I can speak a lot better than you can. I can be a lot more appealing than you can, or at least just as, and I feel like Jen at least gets to sort of represent that for me where she's like, I'll do all of your PR, which is like, yeah, a lot of value that. And the joke is she's bringing very little value to things. So I appreciated that.
So, Tycho, what was your change? I know you wanted to, like, dial it down.
I'd pull all of the characters back and dial down the character, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, and
you give the whole show a
just
value.
Be like, okay, be less, be that, but less. Hmm. You know? Like if you want to have a boss who is kind of ridiculous and kind of self-important and pompous, that's great. I have no problem with that because I've played that character before. Pull it. You don't need to be like when he was doing the stress test with Jen, right? And for a solid minute,
Frankie, I'm giggling, the only thing that giggling.
For a solid minute, the only thing that happened was, are you sure? Are you sure?
I love that.
Are you sure?
I still do.
Are you sure? And I was like, stop. I get it.
Are you stressed? Let me ask you this. If the whole thing was animated, would you feel differently? A quiet over the nation.
I never thought about but I think that would be actually kind of adorable. Hopefully someday they'll put it like with So yeah, would you feel differently about an animated version?
Maybe a little bit. But just because it's a cartoon, you expect it to be more, you know, cartoony. Like, I think like that may be another thing that bothered me is that when you try to do a cartoon, but you do it live action, but you try and keep all the cartooniness, like it doesn't quite work for me.
But I'm asking if you animated if you turned it into a medium that is more acceptable for sort of over the top caricatures, do you think it would work better for you?
Maybe.
So could that be the one change instead of dialing it back and making it less about the character exaggerations?
I mean, I'd be willing to try it.
All right, I'll go animate it real quick, and then I'll come right.
Okay.
But it's possible that you just like your comedy dry, right?
So Tiger,
have you read any Lovecraft, Brinky?
Lovecraft? Nope. No, I can't say that I'm like a Lovecraft guy.
I said Brinky.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
I'll
okay.
go kill myself.
You will be referred to as Little Frank, and you will speak when spoken to.
No, it's going
to
be Lil Frank.
Lil Frank, you will speak Lil when Frank. Spoken to. So, Tycho, we're going to need you to watch some Darth Marenghi's Dark Place and also some Big Fat Quiz of the Year, and maybe you'll love us again. But IT crowd, everybody else but Tycho, watch that.
If you watch the first episode of Garth Marenghi and you're not tickled by it, I don't know what will.
Did I say Darth? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what would tickle you. I don't know what to do for you. Darth Marenghi, a feeling I haven't sensed in.
So I think that wraps us up, Frankie. Are you doing the honors for us this week?
Man, I want to make a Stephen King joke, but I think it's going to send us all over the top.
Well, is he known for cooking naked?
I don't know. I haven't read all of his shit.
Oh. I don't want to pick. Why would you make me picture that? God damn it, Brinky. I hate you.
Were you talking to me?
Both of you. I hate both of you.
All right. Don't cook
Hello,
naked.
Hello, Frank. Don't cook naked.
Don't cook naked.
Good night.
That was Frankie again. That wasn't me.
Uh-huh. Are you sure?